Open your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4. That's where we're going to begin in just a moment. We do have visitors, and we're appreciative of your coming our way. Our only desire here is to just follow the scriptures and devote ourselves to doing what God wants us to do. You're going to see, I was thinking as I was watching Bill, there is a difference between the young and the old. Bill and all the young people use the technology that I can't use. And on top of that, you know, Bill can do it and the young people can do it without notes. Me, I need to have it all written out. My memory is not what it used to be. So bear with me as we go through this lesson. Chapter 4, I'm going to read, I think, beginning in verse 17 of chapter 3 and go through to verse 12 of chapter 4. Now, with whom was he angry 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? And to whom did he swear that they would not enter his rest, but to those who did not obey? So we see that they could not enter him because of unbelief. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day and the way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this place they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remained to some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. Again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time it has been said, today if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered in his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall after the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. This passage, I think, emphasizes the awesome power of God's word. It begins warning that there are those who will not enter God's rest because of disobedience. And we then are encouraged to strive to enter that rest. Finally, the Hebrew writer wants his readers to come to grips with the reality that God's word is able to penetrate to the division of soul and spirit, of joint and marrow, discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. The question then, I think, for us is this. Does this real, or is this real to us today? Especially as we read verse 12. Do we truly understand and believe that God's word can penetrate to the heart and is more powerful than any two-edged sword? I think first-century Christians would indeed have understood the reality of these words, with some, no doubt, actually witnessing the use of a two-edged sword that's designed with a home point and razor-sharp edges that will, with one thrust, impale a person. Literally, impale a person. Driving through the human body and fixing a person to a tree or a wooded stake. Now that's what the writer wants us to understand, that the word of God is even more powerful than that. Now I know that that image to our minds, I think, is a gruesome picture. But what the writer of Hebrews wants us to understand is that this is a life and death. Eternal consequences for all of us who are alive today. What are the consequences of God's word and our responsibility to respond? That's what he wants us to understand. And for each of us, young or old, Christian or non-Christian, it begins with the acknowledgement that we must allow God's word to confront our lives. And we must understand and come to the reality that God's word is not only as sharp as a two-edged sword, but it is sharper than that. And it has the capacity to penetrate to the very depths of our soul, to our heart. And we must allow God's word to do that. As the passage indicates, some did and some don't. So let's look, first of all, at some examples. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. And I want to read first the very first three verses of Jeremiah chapter 36. Now it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that the word came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take a scroll of a book and write it on all the words that I have spoken to you against Israel, against Judah, and against all the nations from the day I spoke to you, from the days of Joshua, Josiah, even to this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the adversities which I propose to bring upon them, that everyone may turn from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. At the beginning here, we have the Lord ordering Jeremiah to write on a scroll all the words that he speaks. That is the inspired word of God. The next 19 verses then explain how the words of the scroll came to the presence of the king in that day. So let's fast forward to verse 20 and let's read 20 through 24. And they went to the king into the court, but they stored the scroll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe and told all the words in the hearing of the king. So the king sent Jehoiada to bring the scroll, and he took it from Elishama the scribe's chamber. And Jehoiada read it in the hearing of the king and in the hearing of all the princes who stood beside the king. Now the king was sitting in the winter house in the ninth month with a fire burning on the hearth before him. And it happened when Jehoiada had read three or four columns that the king cut it with the scribe's knife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until all the scroll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid, nor did they tear their garments, the king nor any of the servants who heard all these words. We learn here that the king refused to allow the word of God to confront his life. And so he or those in the court, it depends on which version you're reading, repeatedly cut off parts of the scroll as they were read and threw those places into the fire. Question is, did this do any good? Did it really help them? Well, let's read from verses 25. To 30 to 31. 25 to 31. Nevertheless, Elathan, Deliah, and Jeremiah, Gemariah, implored the king not to burn the scroll, but he would not listen to them. And the king commanded Jehiamil, the king's son, Seraiah, the son of Asriel, and Shelemiah, the son of Abdil, to seize Baruch the scribe and Jeremiah the prophet, but the Lord hid them. Now after the king had burned the scroll with the words which Baruch had written at the instruction of Jeremiah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah saying, take yet another scroll and write on it all the former words that were in the first scroll which Jehoiakim the king of Judah has burned. And you shall say to Jehoiakim king of Judah, thus says the Lord, you have burned this scroll, saying, why have you written in it that the king of Babylon will certainly come and destroy this land and cause man and beast to cease from here? Therefore says the Lord concerning Jehoiakim king of Judah, he shall have no one to sit on the throne of David, and his dead body shall be cast out to the heat of the day and the fruit of the night. I will punish him, his family and his servants for their iniquity. I will bring on them, on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, on the men of Judah, all the doom that I have pronounced against them. But they did not heed. You know that even though the king ignored God's word, even though he cut the scroll apart and threw it in the fire, he did not escape the word of God. And we cannot escape the word of God either. We can ignore it. We can avoid it. We can refuse to read certain parts that we don't like. But we cannot escape the word of God. We must allow his word to confront our lives, and we must embrace its teaching, no matter the cost or the pain it might inflict in our life. And so how do we embrace the word of God individually? When God's word faces us, what should be the manner, especially if it makes us squirm in our pew? Or when we don't like what we hear, like the king. On the day of Pentecost, after Jesus had ascended into heaven, Peter preached to a crowd of thousands. Let's turn there. It's a very well-known passage to all of us. In Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And let's just read verses 20. Where do I get there? Acts chapter 2. Let's read verses. Let me see what I've got here in my notes. 22 to 23. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and put him to death. Peter told these thousands of people that this Son of God was delivered up and was killed and crucified by the hands of lawless men. Now, Peter was pretty direct. He was to the point regarding what the Jews' treatment of Jesus, the long-awaited Messiah that they had tortured and put to death. When some of these Jews came face to face with the truth, what happened? What did they do? How did they embrace this word of God? Let's read verse 37. Verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the brethren, men and brethren, what shall we do? You know, when they were cut to the heart, that is the two-edged sword of the Hebrews, impaling them with the truth of the gospel. The response of thousands to being labeled lawless men in the New King James Version of the Scriptures reveals their heart in verse 41. Listen to it. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. How did they receive the word of God? They gladly received. They had been called lawless men. They had been told they killed the Messiah. And how did they respond? It says they gladly received the message. Strong's translates this from the Greek as with pleasure welcoming the word. They received it with pleasure. With pleasure. They received it gladly. As the word of God penetrated to the heart of these people, they were cut there. And yet, did they turn and ignore it? Some did. But many gladly received it. That should be the way we embrace God's word when it is preached or when we read the scriptures. Regardless of the cost, brethren, when our life is confronted with the word of God and it cuts us to the heart, we need to manifest the same attitude of thousands on the day of Pentecost. It begins with each one of us allowing God's word to confront our life, regardless of how direct and cutting it may seem to our conscience. We may feel put upon by the one who's delivering the message. We may feel that way. But yet, regardless of how direct and cutting it may seem to our conscience, how are we going to respond? How are we going to embrace the word of God? That's the real question. I'm going to move this down a little. You know, it begins, I think, with each of us allowing God's word to confront us, regardless of how direct it is. If the word is from the scriptures, we must respond to it with pleasure. That's a hard thing to do. That's difficult. I think in our lives, all of us, at one time or another, has read something in the scriptures that all of a sudden hits us. Just like that. And what do we try to do? What is it? How will we embrace that word when it comes that way? Will we be like that king in Jeremiah? Will we just ignore those scriptures? Will we turn away from them? Will we try to find a different commentator or a different interpretation of that word to justify what it really says about our lives? No. We must respond with pleasure. We must obey the instructions from God, no matter how radical change is required. It's the kind of radical obedience that's described in Hebrews chapter 10. Turn with me there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, and I'd like to read from verses 32 to 39. Hebrews chapter 10, 32 to 39. But recall the former days in which after you were illuminated, you endured a great struggle with sufferings, partly while you were made a spectacle both by reproaches and tribulations, and partly while you became companions of those who were so treated. For you had compassion on me in my chains, and joyfully, listen, joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods, knowing that you have a better and an enduring possession of yourselves in heaven. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward, for you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. Do you notice it says that they were made a spectacle, both by reproaches and tribulations, partly while you became companions of those who were so treated? For you had compassion on me in my chains and joyfully accepted the plundering of your goods. When the early church found out that some of their brethren were in jail, at the cost of the plundering of their property, they reached out and they became companions of those incarcerated. Some read these verses to mean that they went and visited a brother in jail. But that's not the point. What I want us to see here is that's radical obedience. When you respond to the word and do such a thing joyfully and put your life and all your worldly possessions in jeopardy, that's the kind of response. That's what way we need to embrace the word of God. When we read what it says and when it touches our heart, when we're cut to the heart, we just need to throw our hands up and yield our lives to God and to Jesus Christ. And it may be difficult. We may not like it, but that's exactly what we need to do. At times we're going to hear preaching, I think, that to us personally makes powerful that two-edged sword, cutting to our hearts. We may not like it, but the question for each one of us at such a point in our lives is this: how will we respond? Will we respond gladly receiving the word with joy and then doing what the Word says? Or what were you like King Agrippa in Acts 26, where he said to Paul in verse 28, "You almost persuade me to be a Christian." Almost. Is that how we're going to respond? When it touches us in our heart, when it cuts to the heart, that's what the Word of God is supposed to do. It's more powerful than that two-edged sword that Christians absolutely knew was so, with razor-sharp edges, could impale a body on a tree. That's what the Word of God is like. And we just need to respond to it. And not almost. Not almost. Or will we be like Felix in Acts 24, who after hearing the things concerning the faith in Christ, righteousness, self-control, and judgment to come, sent Paul away waiting for a more convenient day. A day that we don't know if ever came. We can't remain for a more convenient time. If we read something and we know that it touches us in our hearts, cuts our heart, can't wait for a more convenient time. We need to act. We need to respond. Or will it be like the thousands on the day of Pentecost who gladly, with pleasure, received the word and obeyed? And that's what I want us to come to understand. That's the lesson for today. Let us, when the Word of God confronts us, embrace it. Let us embrace it. And let us act on it. And let us be obedient to God's Word. Because that's what we find early Christians did. And that's what we need to do. So if you're here today, and there's something in your life that needs to be changed, something in your life that you know it's time for you to act, we'd be more than happy to help you. But if you need just the prayers of this congregation, we'd be more than happy to do that too. Whatever the case may be, if you know what you need to do, if you understand what you need to do, if you know that it is time for you to act, don't delay. Don't wait for a more convenient time, because it may never come. If there's any way we can help you, let it be known as we stand and sing the song that's been selected.